All right, welcome back. So I hope you enjoyed that process of outlining your book, getting it down. I find it's very rewarding to have a good idea of where I'm going with something I'm doing, with a book specifically. Books, I find, are a lot harder to write than it is just to talk about something. So I can sit here for hours just talking to you about things, no problem. When it comes to writing a book, we need a bit more structure. We can't just ramble on. So that's why the outline is really helpful because it simplifies things. So what I want to talk to you about now is basically how do you actually outline your book, practically speaking, and not the outlining, but how do you turn the outline into a book? Yeah, because it's all very well having this stuff written down, but what are you going to do about it now? So your book has different parts. Hopefully your framework is in your outline. We talked about framework last time. So I think it's important to have a framework. And if it isn't, you might want to add it, because having the framework of, here's, the first thing, second thing, third thing, it's very helpful. So you can get the process we just did kind of just brought forth all of the information that needs to go in that book. Now you can look at it a little bit analytically using your left brain and say, okay, does it have a framework? Because remember, if somebody else could teach what you're writing about to someone else, so if someone could take your book and then teach it to other people, that's good, If they couldn't, then it probably doesn't have a very good framework. So ideally, it should be teachable, right? That's just an easy way to know how clear your book is. If someone else could teach it for you when you're not around, that's a good sign. So we want to make sure that our books are easy to read, clear, and could be teachable to other people. And the benefit of this is long term, you could have, a team of people doing seminars teaching your stuff for you. Like, for example, Tony Robbins has a whole bunch of coaches for him who no doubt teach his framework. And the same is true for many other people. I remember going on a program called Self-Managing Leadership, which is a framework for my friend Brian. And, the Oxford Leadership Academy, and he trains people to teach his stuff using his framework. So you want to think about frameworks, frameworks, frameworks. So just make sure your framework is in there so that it all makes sense. And one of the things that the outline is just really essential just to get the main bits down. Okay, now we're going to take this a little bit further. So you can look at what you have. And let's take it a bit deeper, okay? So when we write chapters, there's normally different things that go into a chapter and a particular way of writing a chapter. So you've already got the essence, but now let's just look at this in a little bit more detail. So, we've talked about this before, the what, why, how, and what if formula. Or why, what, how, and what if, actually. And it's very important to have this kind of formula for your chapters. Now, I'll explain why this is important. At the beginning of a chapter, any chapter, if you explain to somebody why they should bother reading what they're about to read, like why is this chapter worth reading in the first place, then they're going to read the rest of the chapter. If you don't explain why the chapter is helpful, then why would they want to read it? This might sound obvious, but a lot of people don't realize this. So at the very beginning of any chapter, it's extremely valuable if you can clarify what the problem is and what the solution is, not the solution in detail, but what the benefits are of reading the chapter. So, for example, let's say I was going to talk about, I have a book that I'm writing called Social Opium, and basically what it's about is how we're brainwashed by the media and by the culture, and it screws up our lives. So one of the chapters might be, here are the main causes, the main factors that influence us and mess up with our mindset and our beliefs. Yeah, here are the main things that screw us up. So I'll probably start that chapter. I haven't written this book. I'm just giving an example, something at the same kind of level that you're at now, when it's not clear. I would say something like, the reason that you need to know these different forces that mess up your life is because if you don't know what they are and you don't realize that they're happening to you, then what happens is every day you're being subliminally influenced. You're being affected by things you don't realize. Your mindset, your attitude, what you believe is possible, your visions, everything is being colored by these forces that are invisible to you. And you probably also think that you're not being influenced them, which is even worse. So you're unaware of how bad it is and denying the fact that it's even going on. And if you don't, you know, acknowledge this, realize it and see it, then you're constantly being bombarded and sabotaged without realizing it and even denying that it's happening, which is even worse. So if you read this chapter, what I'm going to talk to you about is how you can assess what's influencing you, what isn't, how it works, and how you can avoid that happening to you so that you can create your life the way you want it, claim back your freedom, and get things together. So I mean, that's just an example. I just came up with that on the spot. But it gives you an idea of, like, that. If you heard that, if you read that, you'd probably want to read more because it's pretty solid and clear. This is why it's worth reading. So at the beginning of your chapter, you want to talk about why. Why bother reading the chapter in the first place? It doesn't have to be very long. It just needs to be clear. Then we talk about what, you know, what is it about? And, you know, each of these topics that you've written A, B, C, and D, you know, you can often just add a little bit on those topics, yeah? So that it's why, what, how. A lot of the time, you've unconsciously written these four topics in this kind of way anyway, you know? It doesn't always match this formula, why, what, how, what, if, and you don't always have to follow it to the T, and they don't have to be the same length either. So it doesn't need that you have these four things and one has to be, they all have to be the same length. The why bit might be really short. The what part might have like three topics in it, you know. So it could be that you have these four topics, and it could be the why goes at the top. It could be that the what part is all the topics, you know, just one after the other. And then we do a little bit of how to, the steps, and then what if you do it. And then you can give some examples, some mistakes to avoid, and some summaries. So I've done another audio on why, what, how, what, if, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. But the point I'm making here is that each of your chapters, let's make sure that it has a clear structure for the chapter and has very clear why they should bother reading it, what this thing you're talking about is about, how it works, what happens if you do it. If you want to give stories and examples, then you can definitely do that. Another thing worth doing is mistakes to avoid. You know, a lot of the time people don't know that they can screw things up easily. So you want to say, okay, here's a few mistakes to avoid. Like, for example, when you're outlining a book, you don't want to think about what you're doing. You want to just write it down. So the mistake would be to think about this too much. Yeah, when you did the outline process, it's a mistake. Another thing you want to add at the end is the summary. You know, if you pick up any self-help book, right? I'm sure you have plenty of self-help books around. If you pick them up and flick through them, you'll see that this is what people are doing in their books. The beginning starts with why, then they tell you what it's about, then they give you the action steps, here's how you do it, then they tell you how your life will be better, and then they normally follow it up with some kind of summary. So this is just a simple formula. So what we're going to do is basically take your outline that you have and just make it a little bit tighter. So you've got the why at the top and it goes through these steps. And bear in mind that when I first learned this process of doing the outline, I thought unconsciously that each subject was a chapter. Okay, so you might be looking at your list saying, I got these 12 subjects and these 4 things, and that means I got my 12 chapters. Not necessarily, you see. Sometimes you might have 2 subjects in 1 chapter. You might even break this up further, you know. So realize that you don't have to look at that and say, that's it, there's my 12 chapters, my 4 things, and I'm done. This is just a nice outline that you can then just tweak a little bit so that you feel comfortable with it, and then you go ahead and boom, 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 knock that thing out, write it really easily. So just have a look at your book now, and just think to yourself, does this make sense? Like, imagine you're reading this book, imagine it's finished. Just look at it and think to yourself, would this be a book that I would enjoy reading? Because one of the things that stood out for me in all these books I've read about writing books, one of the things that I heard was, write the book that you want to read. Yeah. You know, I have so many books, and a lot of them, I kind of skim through them, and I'm like, I'm not sure. So you want to write a book that you want to read, because if you want to read it, like if you would be passionate about a book like that, and it doesn't exist, and you want to write that book, that's a good sign. It doesn't mean you're writing it for yourself, and it's like reading all about your own stories or something. But the point is that you're writing a book that you find fascinating, because if you find it fascinating and it's just exciting for you to read it, chances are other people are going to like it. If you don't like the book you're writing about, that's not very good. So just have a quick peek. Does it make sense to you? Is it feel good? So just to recap what we're talking about here, your book is specifically designed to help someone get a result. So look at your outline and make sure, is this helping people get their results met? Does it make sense? Are there any missing pieces? Does anything need to be added or removed? And then just look at, does it have the why, what, how, what, if formula? Can you add it easily? And then you go through chapter by chapter. You know, does it make sense? You know, here's why you should read the chapter. Here's what it's about. Here's how it works. Here's what happens if you do it. Here's some examples, mistakes to avoid, summary. And once you've got that, it becomes extremely easy to turn this into a book. All you do is you sit down in front of your computer. I often just set the timer, and I'm like, all right, all I'm going to do is just write, you know. And so I set the timer, sit there, and I say, okay, I'm going to fill this piece in, bing, bing, bing. Scrivener is awesome because it can break stuff up for you into small chunks. You know, that software program Scrivener. Because Microsoft Word is this massive, just like one huge document. When I started writing books with Microsoft Word, because I didn't know anything else, it started to really disturb me because I didn't know where I was. It was this big monster of a thing, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? Yeah, it was just a horrible experience. And then I started breaking up the book into these different chapters, and then having all these different pages, and then they all got messed up, and it was just a total nightmare. As soon as I got Scrivener, I realized that I could have it all organized with a chapter, and then four or five like topics underneath, and I can write about them separately in their own little file. You'll see what I mean when you use Scrivener, you know. And it just makes the whole process about a million times easier. So I'm extremely grateful. I'm not sure that, honestly, I'd be that interested in writing if it wasn't for Scrivener. I think it would just, I don't know, somehow it just makes it so much easier for me. So hopefully you find the same thing. So what you do is you take your outline, you just pop them in the boxes, put your timer on, and write. And you're writing what Anne Lamont calls your shitty first draft. You know, they're her words. And your aim is just to crank that thing out. So you just write until it's done. And when it's done, then that's great. You know, you need to have a quick celebration for a start. I just want to emphasize this for a moment. When you finish stuff, you should celebrate. Yeah, like even now, you know, after this session, go and celebrate your outline. Yeah, this is a big deal. It's a big deal to have an outline for a book. You should celebrate. Go and do something fun. Do something enjoyable. You know, give yourself appreciation. Most people don't get this far. And then once you've done your celebrations, you can come back and, when you're ready, press the record button, press the start button. You know, I have use my phone or something, I have all these timers, you know, different sorts of timers. You can get apps on your computer that has a timer, whatever works for you. You know, I've even played with the idea of getting one of those sand timers, you know, those old school sand timers. I haven't found the one I like best yet, but I'm thinking of getting one. Just because it's old school, I can see it sitting there on the desk with the sand. Yeah, so whatever works for you. And just get writing. So you write whatever you want and then stop. Take a little break. And it's always good to write in inspirational chunks of time. Everyone has their own method of writing. Some people, they write very, very, you know, specifically only at a particular time of day, and that's all they do. Charles Dickens, for example, he wrote every morning. I think he started at 8 o'clock in the morning. He had an extra door installed in his house so that he couldn't hear anything. He had to have his desk exactly tidy. He would write exactly at the same time. No one was allowed to talk to him or interrupt him in any way when he was writing. And I think he wrote for about 4 hours every morning. And then he'd have lunch with his family. Then he'd go for a walk. Then he'd come back and write again. And he was extremely hardcore and focused and systemized about his writing. He cranked out so many books. Charles Dickens, yeah? David Copperfield, Oliver Twist, and all these other books. And so he did it through being orderly. Some people, they don't do that. I've studied all sorts of writers, and I found that some people just randomly write whenever they want. Some people write almost non-stop for weeks at a time, and then they completely abandon writing for weeks or months. So it really is a personal choice. What I find works for me is doing it at the same time every day, you know, having your writing time. It's very, very powerful. Because the reason people don't write books, realistically, is they just don't schedule it. Yeah, I was talking to my friend Tom about this, and he was like, yeah, it's all very well, but people don't schedule their writing. They schedule other appointments, they schedule time with other people. But when it comes to writing a book, it's almost like that doesn't count. Anything we want to happen in our lives, generally speaking, if it's scheduled, it happens. If it's not scheduled, it's very unlikely to happen. And so if you start scheduling your writing very clearly and you have a timer on, the chances of you writing are like 1,000 times more than they would be if you hadn't done that. So, you know, that would be my recommendation to you, is pick a time where you're most likely to be inspired. You know, for example, I like getting up in the morning, and I have more energy in the morning. I have less energy in the afternoon. So as much as I like the idea of like spending the morning doing random things and working in the afternoon, truth is I actually don't have much energy in the afternoon, and it's very hot in Hawaii. So I can truthfully put in my best work in the morning. It's just how I am. I've got more energy. I think a lot of people are like that. The morning, you know, once they're up, they've got the power, yeah? So you want to schedule your writing time when you have energy and you've got time for it. You make the time specifically and you cancel everything else. And, you know, if you have other people around that might interrupt you, tell them, please don't interrupt me, you know. Sometimes people just need to be told, please don't interrupt me during these times because I'm writing. There's nothing worse than being in the middle of writing and someone comes in and asks you a question because it just totally screws up your mindset. And apparently it takes 20 minutes for you to get back in the zone. So it's just not worth it, you know. So ideally, do it where there's no interruptions, no one else is going to kind of come in. Turn your phone off, turn everything off. Turn it, like, the problem with computers is that they've got so many alerts and things like this that can annoy us. I've had to go in and like do research online to figure out how to turn off all the alerts on my computer using this sort of ninja code. So, otherwise, I don't know why they do this. I think it's probably just like a dopamine thing. The software companies, they have so many things bouncing around and alerts popping up. And this person came on Skype and this thing needs to be installed. And you got an update for this and blah, blah, blah. And you got a new email and Facebook. And it's complete disaster. Like, there's no way you can write if all those things are flashing and bouncing around on your screen. So, if at all possible, shut everything down completely. If you've got a Mac, I don't know how these things work on a PC, but there's a way to turn off all your notifications and alerts on your computer so they just don't bother you. You know, I find it's extremely annoying when I'm trying to do something and all of a sudden I'm being told there's all this trivial nonsense that I need to pay attention to when I'm not interested. So see if you can turn it off, do a bit of research. I haven't got the exact, I don't know how it works on PCs, but if you just typed in how to disable notifications, type it in for Mac or PC, how to disable notifications and annoying alerts on your computer, there's plenty of articles about how to do it. So turn all that stuff off, it's very annoying. Tell everyone else, please leave me alone while I'm writing, and set your timer and just blast through the book one thing at a time. And like I mentioned before, you can write out of order. Once you have an outline, you can write in any way you want. For example, when they shoot films, you know, there's lots of films get shot on Hawaii. So we see all these film crews around, you know, on the beaches and things. And when they're shooting, they don't shoot in order. They don't start the film at the beginning. They might shoot the end first, and then they might shoot the middle bit, and then they shoot another bit, and then they shoot the beginning at the very end of the filming, yeah? So they shoot based on location and based on their schedule and all these different factors. They don't shoot based on chronological order. But they can only do that because they've got a very clear plan and they know exactly where they're going. So if your outline is solid and you feel really good about it, you can easily write out of order. You could start with the end, you could bounce back to the beginning, you could do the middle, you could do, you know, the middle, beginning part of the middle, then you could do the, you could do whatever you want. I'm a big fan of following your joy. So if you're sitting down with your book and you're feeling that you want to write the end bit first and you got the energy to write the end bit, write it. And then you might feel, you know what, now I've done that, I want to write this other piece. So if you feel inspired to do that, then do it. Don't feel you're limited to a chronological order. You might not have any inspiration to do that. You might like the idea of just writing from beginning to end. That's fine. Yeah, like it's not better or worse. It's whatever works for you. I spend most of my time writing chronologically, but sometimes I like to jump around. It just, I don't know, it just feels good. So remember, there's no one way of doing any of this stuff. You know, you could write your book a completely different way from anything I've shared, and it might be all right. You know, I'm just sharing with you some of the things that have helped me and helped hundreds of other authors to crank things out and get a really good result quickly. So that's my recommendation, is schedule, tell everyone to stay away. I'm writing, please leave me alone. Make your time, set your timer, write for the time that you're writing for. If your timer goes off and you're totally in the zone and you're totally excited, I recommend you just carry on writing, okay? But definitely take a break. It's like, don't just write without any breaks. I remember reading about the guy who wrote the book called The Power of Full Engagement. And he was sharing that with that book, what happened is it was after 9/11. And for some reason, you know, a lot of weird things happened after 9/11, and one of them was that people weren't buying as many books. People started freaking out, weren't reading as much. So publishers were not that interested in publishing books. You know, there was a big drop in the publishing market. And what they said to him is, if you want to get this book done, because he'd got a publishing deal, they said you have to finish it in the next 4 months. So he thought he had like a year and a half. Now he's got 4 months and he has to write this whole book, otherwise it's not going to be published. So it freaked him out. But what he decided to do was write in three chunks. Okay, so if you want to really nail it with your writing, here's what I'd recommend doing, what Tony Schwartz did. He wrote his morning chunk, which I think was like 6 to 8, 2 hours, hardcore, boom, fully focused. You know, he'd had his breakfast and he was on the case. Then he took I think it was an hour break, did something else, like exercised, or did something different, ate something, drank something, had a little rest, you know, I think it was about an hour, hour and a half. Then another 2 hour chunk. So he did 4 hours, right? That's pretty serious. Then he had lunch, took a walk. He said having his walks was one of the most important things, because when he walked around, he got to, you know, gather his thoughts, gather his ideas. He'd start realizing the things that he'd written already that need to be changed or what he needed to write next. So then he went off and he would come back in the afternoon after a nice long break, and then he'd go back at it again for another 2 hours. So he ended up basically spending 6 hours a day writing, which is, I don't recommend any more than that. I think 6 hours is about pushing it, really. And he did that, I think, you know, Monday to Friday or something like that. I don't think he did it every day. I think it was 5 days a week. And he finished the book in, I think, 3 months rather than four. And that's a hardcore writing schedule, yeah. But he was saying the importance of the breaks. If he tried to write 6 hours straight, it wouldn't have worked. And as soon as his timer went off, as soon as it was like a beep, 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 time for a break, he had to stop in mid-sentence. So that's something I've tried as well. Like, there's these, you have to feel into this stuff, right? I've found it's better to leave your book inspired than to leave it feeling drained. Okay, this is a very important thing to underline. Far better to leave your book inspired than to leave it feeling drained. So if you're actually excited and your timer goes off and you stop and you want to get back to it, there's an energy pulling you back, that's good, right? Another tip is that whenever you stop writing, you finish in the middle of a sentence, because that means when you go back, you just finish that one sentence and you're back in the flow. So ideally, if you're absolutely on fire, right, you probably want to carry on writing, okay? Like if this, the gold is pouring through, then you want to carry on. Otherwise, if the gold is there but you're feeling, you know, I need a break, just stop. Overall, I recommend you stop, finish, do write half the sentence, not the whole sentence, finish in the middle of a sentence and go away with that magnetism to return to your book. Because last thing you want to happen is that you leave writing feeling drained and terrible. Because if you leave your book feeling, oh my God, I hate my writing, then you're not going to be inspired to go back and do any more. But if you leave, you know, your writing session feeling absolutely on fire and can't wait to get back at it, then you're going to, it's just a different energy, yeah? So that's a very important thing. You never want to leave your writing feeling drained. That's bad news. So that's the benefit of a timer. Timer goes off, stop, write half a sentence, leave it alone, go off and have a break. Nice long break. Your mind then is going to start filtering things through, coming up with ideas. Everyone I know who's a writer tells me, and this has been my experience as well, that those walks and the time in nature and time off is just as important as the writing time. So make sure you take plenty of breaks. So what you're going to do is you're going to start writing your first draft in chunks of time, taking breaks in between, feeling stoked about it. Remember, when the timer goes off, leave it alone, okay? And just, if you can do 2 sessions a day and you really want to focus on your book, that's great. 4 hours a day would be amazing. 6 hours a day would be incredible, but I'm not sure how many people can handle that. If you can, you're going to be very, very, very quick and successful in your book. Otherwise, just do 2 hours. You know, minimum, I would say, is 1 hour. You know, ideal is go for 2 hours a day. And really enjoy it. When the timer goes off, stop, finish in the middle of a sentence, and go back the next day. So you just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. If you're only writing an hour a day, you might as well write every day of the week. You know, why not? You know, why does Saturday and Sunday make any difference? You know, it's great. Just write it until you finish your first draft. Once you've finished your what's called the shitty first draft, then I recommend a incubation time. incubation is where you don't write anymore. You just stop and you're like, okay, I'm just going to let things incubate. You don't even look at the book, just leave it alone. So you can do something else. This is where, for example, you could get a cover designed. You know, you go on to Fiverr.com or get wherever you want to go for your cover design. Fiverr.com, F-I-V-R-R.com. There's some good people on there who do a cover for $5, which is pretty cool. If you want to spend more money, $200 or $300, you can get someone else to do it for, you know. Make sure you get a good cover. That's important. So in that week off, you could be getting your cover done or just doing other things. Then when you come back to your book, what you're doing is you're going on to a different level. The first level, the first draft, is just basically your version. It's for you. You're writing it for yourself. You're just letting your ideas flow. It's all good. It's not being edited. Remember, when you write, don't edit. Okay, I didn't mention this, but I need to be very clear about this. You can't write and edit at the same time. It's different parts of your brain. So the creative side, just let it out. You know, so like my first drafts are just plagued with spelling mistakes. It's a complete disaster. Yeah, absolute nightmare. The first drafts are horrendous. I can hardly spell anyway. But I'm just like cranking it out, and there's all these red lines underneath it with all these spelling mistakes. I don't let it get to me. If I started looking at that and rewriting it 15 times and changing the spelling and the grammar, it would kill the flow. So first draft is plagued with spelling mistakes and grammar problems, and it's a mess, yeah? The genius is in there, the essence is in there, but otherwise it's a mess. Some authors recommend you should never mess with your first draft. You just want to change the spelling and publish it, and that's it. Yeah, some people they firmly believe that. I think that's a tad extreme, and things could be made a bit better. So, without getting into perfectionism, when you come back after your incubation period, the second draft is for your reader. So let's remember this. First draft is for you. Second draft is for your reader. Third draft is for the haters. People, so that's the third draft is where you refine things, make sure your references are all good, and like there's no like weird things in there that people can complain about. So you've done your first draft. Second draft is all about, is this adding value to my reader? So second draft is where you think, okay, let me get out of my own head here. Let me get out of me and me and me and me and my story and all the rest of it. Let me think about this from someone else's perspective. If I wasn't me and I was someone else, if I was the reader, and you know, remember we talked about who is this person, how old are they, what is their background, why do we want to write to them, why do we care about them? I recommend you have an image of your reader. You can find someone on Facebook who might be, or one of your clients who would be a perfect person, or you can just create someone randomly that kind of you think represents the person. Get a picture of someone who to you represents your ideal reader. Print it out, and this is what I've literally done this, and it makes a massive difference. And you basically, you know, like Christmas cards, they're like, or birthday cards, they're folded, yeah, they have like a front and back and they open up. I just create a little, like a 2-inch by 2-inch size picture, cut it out, and hang it on my top corner of my screen. So this person's face is literally right there the whole time I'm writing. Because if I'm writing to one person and focusing exactly on them and what they're experiencing, I can get an immediate kind of feeling whether or not what's being said here is going to hit the mark or not. It's completely different. If I don't have their face there the whole time, I can be caught up in my own little fantasy reality and missing the mark completely. So get a picture. Put it on your screen, you know, if it doesn't work for you, fair enough, but at least try it out, because it's made a huge difference to me. And it took me years to actually do this. I remember people mentioning this to me, and I remember thinking what a great idea it was, and I never did it. And then I did it, and I was like, this is, how did I ever manage to do anything without having this picture here? Because remember, your book is for a person. It's not just this random thing. So the second draft is, you have this person there, you know their pain, you know their problems, you know what they're needing help with, and you're basically going through your book and making sure that everything that you've written is actually useful, basically. Is this going to help a real person? Is this solving their problem? Is this entertaining for them? Because remember, people read books for two reasons. Pain relief, you know, solving problems, or distraction, right? Distracting from the pain. Because we all have so much pain in our lives on some level that we want to distract ourselves. That's why movies and fiction books are so popular, because they just take us away, you know. It's like, oh God. So you know, one of the things is that if you can have a little bit of entertainment in your pain relief books, people are more likely to read them. Yeah. And like yesterday, I was lying down on the bed picking up the Kindle, and I was feeling a little bit strange, you know. I had one of my weird moments, and I was looking through all these books that I have, hundreds of these books on the Kindle, and I ended up reading a part of a book called Adrian Mole, which is a fictional character that I remember reading when I was a child. Adrian Mole, The Diaries of Adrian Mole. It's really funny. It's a funny book, English book by Sue Townsend. This is, you know, it's not a self-help book, it's not a spiritual book, it's probably one of the only non-self-help book type things that I actually have. And I just fancied reading it because it was light-hearted and amusing, right? And I wanted to get away from all this sort of heavy stuff that I'm constantly dealing with, all these things. So I realized that as much as, even though there might have been books addressing how I felt that might be helpful to me, yeah, I'm not interested. I want to escape, yeah? There's part of me that likes to escape sometimes. And I'm sure you're the same, and I'm pretty certain that your reader is totally into it. Most people are totally into escape. You know, I was watching a movie the other day about how much people are into pharmaceutical drugs. You know, the amount of people on pills is kind of shocking, especially in Florida. And so people definitely are into escaping. Yeah, so why not have entertainment in your book? Yeah, so that means stories, it means just being a bit more funny, it means you know, telling the inside truth, being vulnerable, being honest. Yeah, so make it more engaging, make it more entertaining for your reader. So look at them and say, think to yourself, could I write this slightly differently that would be a bit more revealing, a bit more engaging? Be vulnerable. Be willing to put your heart down. Be willing to expose your weird side. Be willing to expose your pain. Be willing to tell stories that are shocking. Yeah? Be willing to tell the story that no one's telling. Because that's what's going to make your book far better, yeah? What we don't need is more self-help books that are just like, you need to set goals, you need to do this, here's the 12 steps to sort your life out, bing, bing, bing. It's like, yeah, we all know that. Most people have already read plenty of books that tell them what they need to do, yeah? I think near enough everyone knows what they need to do nowadays. There's enough information around that it clearly explained, here's exactly what you need to do to get the results in your life. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff like that. You probably already know yourself how to get the results in your life, but why aren't you doing it fully? That's a big question, right? So your book needs to address the fact that a lot of the people who are reading your book already know plenty of things, they already read plenty of stuff. What they need is a bit of connection. They need a bit of connection with you. They need to hear your struggles. They need to hear your stories. They need to hear what you've gone through. That's what that's going to help them go through it. If you hear a story from somebody who was totally trashed and had all these terrible things and they came through the other side, that's going to actually inspire you to take action in your own life and make it happen. Yeah? So you can tell people all you want. Here's the 12 steps, here's the 5 steps, here's the whatever it is. But if there's no inspiration and no vulnerability and no pain and no struggle, no, they're not going to do it. So look at the picture of the person and imagine, all right, how can I engage this person with a bit of drama here? You know, nice bit of drama. People love a bit of drama. Add some drama to your book. It's going to make it better. Yeah, not every book has the drama necessarily. You know, like some of the books I've written are kind of channeled and they just are what they are and I don't edit them at all. You know, they come through and that's the end of it, right? And that's a different kind of book. But if I'm writing a book about human challenges and or addictions or something that's severe, why not have a bit of drama, talk about the problem, like go into it? So the second draft is to spice it up a bit. Is it spicy? Is it juicy? Is it engaging? Where's the power? You know, I've noticed when I read self-help books, as soon as people start talking about stories, I find it far more interesting. It's kind of like a breath of release. It's like, ah, hooray. It's not all heavy, heavy stuff anymore. This is now a little bit more a bit more human, yeah? So, and of course, the stories need to be somehow related to your reader, you know? I could tell you, oh, I remember when I was 5 years old and this random thing happened. You know, that doesn't matter. But if it's about the topic that you're discussing, then it's good. Yeah? And make sure that your stories have a breakthrough. Yeah? Because I've mentioned this before. If you tell a story about your life and it's just problem, 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 like, this thing's terrible, and then that thing's horrible, and this is horrible, and that's horrible, and this is horrible, and that's horrible, and this is horrible, and I hate this, and I hate this, and I hate that, and I hate all these people, and it's horrible. Yeah, if that's all you said, that's what's called venting. Yeah, venting in your book is not a good idea. But if you say, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's nasty, it's just terrible, and it's extremely painful, and then I had a breakthrough and I learned this wonderful new method that totally changed my life, and then I applied the method and then all these wonderful things started happening and I had a few struggles, but then I overcame them and I kept overcoming them, and now I have all these amazing experiences and all this huge changes and I'm so excited. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, I've went from pain to breakthrough to pleasure. So just make sure that your stories all have the pain, the breakthrough, and the pleasure. People don't want just the drama, because that's venting. And they also don't want you just to say to them, I woke up in the morning, my life was great, then I got this wonderful thing in the post and made it even better, and then it was even better after that, and it was awesome. That's not interesting either, because there's no struggle. Yeah, there's no struggle. So it's the struggle that people will relate to, you know. Without the struggle, it doesn't mean anything, yeah. Like, learning how to write a book has been a total nightmare for me, because I wanted to write a book back in 2005, yeah. And I can tell you, the book that I started writing still is not finished, yeah, all these years later. I'm wondering what I'm supposed to do here. Am I just supposed to, like, pull my hair out? Or am I supposed to burn all of it, delete all the files? What's going on, yeah? I don't know what to do with that book. But luckily, I didn't give up, and I figured all this stuff out. Now I've published loads of books, and I keep doing them, and I'm excited about it, and they're making money for me. People are coming to my websites and all these things, and now I'm sharing with you how to do it. Yeah, I never thought I'd be sharing with other people how to write a book. I had no idea how I'd be able to do it. But it hasn't been easy. I've had to read tons of stuff about how to do this. I've had to experiment with things, screw things up, try stuff, and then it keeps changing because the industry changes. So I'm not going to tell you my whole story here. I'm just giving you an example. As soon as I talk about a bit of drama, you probably can relate to it better. if I say, oh, I have such a great life in Hawaii, everything's super, super easy, you know, everything's taken care of, there's no worries, everything I do is successful, you know, you probably can't deal with that. If I tell you that loads of things I've done didn't work, I screwed up loads of time, I've had all these problems, I've had financial problems, I've had relationship problems, I've had health problems, I've hated myself, I've not wanted to do the work, yeah, then you probably start feeling, ah, good, you know, he's normal, and he has to deal with these things as well. So that's the truth. You know, I've gone through all sorts of crazy things, and I continue to, frankly. So tell the story that people aren't telling. Be honest, be vulnerable. And that second draft is to basically juice up your book. Make it juicy, make it powerful, make it remarkable. And then, once you've done the second draft, then you can have another little incubation period. And this is where you can give it to some people to read, maybe, see if there's any stuff that's glaringly missing. You know, maybe someone might be like, you know what, I don't, this is great, but like, where's... You know, I don't know what they're going to say, but there could be some obvious stuff. It could be that you're going on and on about some theory that is actually not been proven to work at all. You know, you might want to change that. So there could be technically ideas in there that are suspicious that you could get attacked for, that you could back up with scientific data. Or it could be that you're just missing an important part of the book that will make it better. To just give it to some authors, ideally, or some real proper readers who actually realize the value of a good book. Get a bit of feedback. Even if you don't give it to anyone, just go through it again and say, is there anything missing here? So you're going through your third version where you refine it a tiny little bit. Don't rewrite the whole book here. This is just tweaking. You know, make sure its spelling is done properly. Make sure that there's the titles are all making sense. Make sure that it's just going through and just like tidying everything up. Just get it just perfect. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect book, but as perfect as you can. So that's what is called the final draft, or the draft for the haters. It's like anything that people could complain about, like bad spelling, bad grammar, not backing things up, stuff that people could say, look, that's a problem, that's a problem, that's a problem. Just look at it, go through it, tighten it up, get it ready to publish. So then you've got your book all tidied up nicely, edited, you send it to an editor once you've gone through it all yourself and you're ready to it, you send it to an editor because they're going to do the final editing. You know, that's the details, editors do that. Then what's missing, the only thing missing in the book, is the what's called the front and back matter. So the front matter is things like your copyright page, yeah, title page, table of contents. That's, if you just look at a book, that's called front matter. You know, this book was copyright this date, published by this company. Sometimes they say typeset in this particular font and all these things. Just look at books that you've got on a shelf and just see what they say. It don't have any unrelevant information, but it normally just says copyright, date, that kind of stuff, right? And then it has, if you have a table of contents, you can add that, you know, chapter one, click here, because you're going to probably write an ebook initially, but you write your table of contents. And then you normally have a title page, it just basically says the name of the book. Just pick up a bunch of books and look at the very, very front. It's kind of this weird stuff that's not really the book, but needs to be there. So you add that to the front of the book, and then at the back of the book, you want to have about the author. Who are you? What have you, you know, what are you all about? What other resources do you have? Are you sending them to a website? Do you have an opt-in page? Are you telling them to contact you? Are you giving them, you know, a place where they can reach you, where they can mail to you, where they can phone you to set up an appointment? What's at the back of the book to get them to move forward? Then you can have more books from the author. What other books do they have? Do you have that you could tell them about? And then leave a review page. Leave a review. Because ideally you want to have reviews of your book. And, you know, a lot of people just don't review books. I don't know, it's just the way it is. But if you ask them very nicely, please, please, please leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. You know, you can add that at the end. If you love this book, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. You can even bribe them. You can even say, if you leave a review, I'll give you my next book as a review copy to review the next one as well. They just show me your review and I'll send you the copy. That's okay to say that. You can't say, if you leave me a 5-star review, then I'll give you this thing. Because that's like payment, yeah? So you can't demand that they do a particular thing. But if you say, leave me a review and I'll give you this other thing, that can then get you more reviews. So, just to recap, you're going to look at your outline, excuse me, look at your outline, make sure that it's the outline that you like, you know, because that process we went through is very powerful. It might be perfect. You just want to make sure that if there's anything you want to tweak, then just go for it. Don't mess around too much with it. It's probably pretty good like it was. Then you write your shitty first draft, just crank that thing out, boom, 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 in chunks of time. Then you do your for the reader version. You have a little picture of them and you juice it up, spice it up a bit. You know, you want to have it spicy and juicy as much as you can anyway in the first draft, but second draft is you just give it an extra bit of spice, you know, give it a bit of cayenne pepper, you know, nice bit of ginger, a bit of salt, you know, just spice the thing up a bit, yeah. Give it a bit of drama, give it a bit of, do you know what I mean? Juice the thing up, because otherwise it's not going to be interesting. And then you, once that's done, go through the final draft, the haters draft, or just the proof ready draft. Get it ready, show it to people who need it. Edit it yourself as much as you can. Just tidy the thing up so it's basically ready. Add the front matter, title page, copyright, contents, and then the back matter about you, about your other books, what you want them to do, leave a review, send the whole thing to the editor. All right, then basically if you do that, you've basically got a finished book. Yeah, there you go. Like, that's a huge, 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 huge success. And while the book's at the editor, you can get a cover made. And we'll talk about the other stuff in another session, but that if you do what I've just shared with you here, you will have a finished book that then all you got to do is go on to the final stage, which is click, click, click a bunch of buttons and upload it, and you can then start getting sales and helping people. So before we go into any of that, let's just make sure the book is written and you like it, you know. And remember, it's fun and games. This isn't like... The big shift for me was when I realized that I'm going to write multiple books. When I first started writing, I was thinking, I'm going to write this one book, and this one book has to have every single thing I've ever learned in this one book. That's a very, very bad idea, I realize now. But at the time, that's what I was thinking. So just realize this book you're writing, excuse me, this book is going to be one of many. So you want to stay on your topic as much as possible, yeah? Don't be deceived into going off track and adding all this extra stuff. Because the thing with self-help is that nearly everything you do is connected to something else that you could write a book on. Each of your subjects could be in itself a book. Each of your topics could possibly be a book in itself, right? But you don't want to write a book in itself for each topic. Yeah, this is one of my biggest challenges, is how do I not write a book? How do I not write 10 books within a book? So when you have the mindset you're going to write multiple books, then you can refrain from going into too much detail. And you can say in the book, look, when it comes to visioning could have a whole book by itself, but we're just going to talk about the most important things you need to know right now to get clear on your vision. That's enough, yeah? And when you have another book, you can always go back and say, by the way, if you like this, you might like my full book on visioning, which is over here, and you can have a link to it, yeah? So you can sell more books within your book. So just refrain. I'm just sharing this because this has been one of my challenges. Just refrain from writing too many books within a book. Keep it tight. Keep it focused. Keep it on a very particular topic. Stay with the theme. Stay with the outline, basically. Don't allow yourself to get way all over the place, because otherwise it messes it up and takes longer. So once you're happy with the outline, just go through the whole thing and set a deadline. This is another thing. If you have no deadline for your book to be finished, you could spend years on it. You could just put it off. Oh, I'll write tomorrow. I'll write next year. I'll write in, you know. Set a deadline and write until you're finished, you know. One of the books that I read on writing, and I've read all these different books that tell people how to write. And what's it called? Write, Publish, Repeat, the book's called. It's a good book, worth reading. Write, Publish, Repeat. And the authors basically say they have a very rigid, hardcore schedule. Like, they have to finish they write fiction. They have to finish their books within a certain amount of time, and they're cranking them out. You know, they write all the time, and they have deadlines. This has to be finished by then. This has to be finished by then. Boom, 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 boom. It's much, much more powerful if you have that kind of structure. Otherwise, your ego and your perfectionism and your distraction and your I'm not good enough and all the weird stuff that is going on can totally take over and you never finish anything. So highly, highly, highly recommend you have a deadline to get this thing finished. Deadline for the first draft, deadline for the second draft, deadline for the final thing. Yeah. I would recommend, you know, a week for the first draft, then you leave it a week, then a week for the second draft, and then a week for, just do a week each. If you need to extend it out to 2 weeks each, that's all right. It depends on your schedule, how much you're writing. But that's how I like to do things, because I normally can write a book in about 2 days if I'm like writing for 4 to 6 hours a day. I just sit there and I've got my outline and boom, this thing just goes rock. I just, because I'm in the zone, yeah? But if I don't have a deadline to finish it, then it will just sit around. I currently have about 15 to 20 books on my laptop right now that are unfinished because I didn't have deadlines. So I'm now having to systematically set deadlines and finish the whole lot. And so I'm just sharing with you how you can avoid making the same mistakes that I have. So I know this has been a lot. Hope you've taken plenty of notes. And go ahead and write and finish your book. So this next little session, this next period of time, just focus on writing your first draft. Let the genius pour out of you. Don't bother editing it. Just let it come through. You know, this is first draft is for you. It's your baby. It's your joy. It's for fun. You love it. And enjoy doing that. So I hope this has been valuable and helpful to you, and you're excited and inspired. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with. So well done.